Welcome to this episode of On The Case, the LSE Law Society's podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Tan. In each episode, we speak to various professionals and experts to gain insight into legal careers, law school, and other exciting developments in the world of law. Without further ado, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of LSE's On The Case. This episode will introduce our listeners to how the spheres of NFTs and law interact, along with an understanding of the emerging trend of NFTs in sports. We've invited Mr. Joseph Richmond, a managing associate at Linklaters. Thank you, Joseph, for joining us today. Just before we start, could you provide our listeners with a brief introduction of who you are and what you're currently doing in your career?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Zoe, and hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be invited onto the podcast. So I'm a lawyer at Linklaters in London. So Linklaters is a corporate law firm. I specialise in financial regulation, and I've been practising in this area since 2017. And before that, I completed 2 years as a trainee lawyer. So I have a broad financial regulation practice. I provide advice on the myriad of rules and regulations that apply to financial services firms. I advise on financial services enforcement, which is where firms are subject to investigation by the UK financial services regulators. And I also advise on various crypto-related matters. And I suppose it's my crypto and NFT experience which brings me here today to talk to you, Zoe, and hopefully I can answer some of your questions.
That sounds amazing. I believe your experience with crypto and NFTs will really bring us a lot of insight for today.
I hope so.
Yeah, definitely. Especially your article on NFTs in sports, it has definitely provided a lot of insight on very niche and unexplored areas of law. So what exactly are NFTs and how do they differ from traditional investment methods such as stocks or index funds?
Yeah, so NFTs are non-fungible tokens. That means they are generally a unique token, and its uniqueness is derived from the fact that each NFT is a digitally constructed representation. So this is different to cash, say, which is truly fungible or interchangeable. So thinking about it, if you have £1, it can be exchanged for another pound. Likewise, stocks. If you have one share in, say, Microsoft, that could be exchanged for another share in Microsoft. And indeed, it's different to most cryptocurrencies, i.e. if you have a Bitcoin, it's interchangeable or could be exchanged with another Bitcoin. They're exactly the same. But NFTs are different. As I said, they are unique. And so NFTs are also an interesting issue because they've accelerated the adoption of digital artwork and memorabilia. You know, an NFT often underpins a digital piece of artwork or an experience. And I'm sure we'll talk about some examples of NFTs.
Yeah, definitely. So we've seen one example such as emerging trend of NFTs, like what you mentioned in the art world.
Yeah.
It has caused a lot of allegations on issues such as plagiarism, etc. And now even more so in the sporting arena, which is one of your areas of expertise.
Yeah.
So how have NFTs been utilized in the sporting sector specifically?
Yeah, so NFTs are increasingly being monetized, traded and promoted in the sports sector. So just looking at a few examples, there are trading cards in the UFC space. There are thoroughbred horse racing opportunities in the metaverse. There are various fan zone sports clubs. That's where NFTs are structured not as artwork, but as passes that grant access to things like experiences and tickets. There are limited edition video clips of sporting moments, which individuals can own. So an example of those are NBA Top Shot. And then there are football clubs, various football clubs. Now, most clubs in the Premier League have their own NFT projects, and there are an increasing number of players who also have their own NFT projects or artworks, including Messi. So he has Messiverse. And over the next few years, I think we're going to see a lot more projects that encompass artwork, experiences, even competition between individuals. It's a very interesting space.
That is definitely very insightful. I think a lot of our listeners who are interested in EPL and football will definitely look into that very specifically. There have also been a lot of increasing security and privacy concerns with NFTs, as seen on the news. And based on what you've been doing so far, what are some other legal implications with NFTs you have observed? And which areas of the law interact the most with NFTs?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So the NFT market is still evolving, and so are the legal and regulatory issues associated with it. However, there are various legal issues to work through. So as you mentioned, Zoe, there are potential privacy and data protection issues. So thinking about privacy, the immutable nature of the blockchain on which NFTs are stored means that it can be functionally difficult or sometimes impossible to erase an NFT as personal information. And then also, as you mentioned, security is a real concern, and investors have to be careful with respect to issues such as cyber hacking and the safe and secure storage of their NFTs in ledgers. And then otherwise, investors should be careful of fraudulent or manipulative schemes. And in all honesty, investors investing in NFTs have to be prepared to lose some or all of their investments on certain projects. And then in my specialist area, there are various considerations regarding financial services regulation, including licensing, including money laundering controls, and crypto asset regulation. So while the regulatory oversight of crypto assets, including NFTs, has been phased and generally limited to money laundering registration with the FCA so far, more regulation is on the horizon. And while many NFT trading platforms and those involved in the minting, buying and selling of NFTs are unlikely to require a license to operate in the UK now, they may do so in the future if they are involved in the provision of any of the activities listed in the Treasury's recent consultation on the future financial services framework for crypto firms. So that was published in February of this year and makes it very clear that things are changing. A new law is coming into effect, the Financial Services and Markets Bill. It's probably going to into force next year, I would have thought. And it's phased, but it's likely going to change this area fairly significantly. So those involved in this space need to have a look at what they're doing and whether any regulation impacts them. And then they need to have a think about how they're going to comply. So otherwise, those involved in the space now and indeed in the future need to have regard to advertising law and standards. So I don't know if you know, but in, I think, the summer last year, Arsenal were found to have breached the UK advertising agency's rules and regulations in respect of the promotion of crypto tokens. And that's certainly an area of focus for the ASA at the moment. And then otherwise, there are lots of areas of law and regulation. But, you know, just thinking of a couple of areas, there's tax, and there are tax implications on selling NFTs. Otherwise, thinking about copyright, there is a misconception that if you buy an NFT, you automatically own the copyright to the artwork or the kind of event. You know, thinking about NBA Top Shot, for example, that's not always the case. And all you really own is kind of the underlying digital representation of the asset rather than necessarily the asset itself. So lots of interesting questions and lots of areas of the law to think about.
Yes, I agree with that. There are a lot of misconceptions in the area of NFTs, and I think a lot of your examples have definitely cleared that up. I believe, like what you said, a lot of NFT regulations are on the horizon, but there's a very prominent lack of regulations on the NFTs currently.
Yeah.
So as NFTs are considered relatively new technology and are largely unregulated at the present, what are some implications and risk in the market that you observe?
Yeah, so just being blunt here, the FCA has given very little regulatory oversight over investing in crypto assets or NFTs. So there are no consumer protections in place for those who buy an NFT. They are not, for example, FSCS regulated or protected, unlike, say, your money in your bank account. So consumers who buy NFTs have to be prepared to lose some or all of the money they invest. And that is the really key risk in the market for investors.
I see. So for this aspect, are there any forms of protections for consumers like that in terms of private law?
Well, I suppose it depends what's happened. But yes, you know, in theory, there is scope for an individual to start legal action against someone else, depending on what's happened, if there's been a breach of contract, if there's been a breach of trust. But you have to establish a course of action. But in terms of regulatory protection, no, there really is very little at the moment. It's going to change, I think. But, you know, if you're subject to a fraudulent scheme, yes, there might be scope to take action in the courts. But obviously, that is an expensive and long process.
I see. Thank you so much for that. So based on what you have talked about NFTs so far, what do you perceive is the future of NFTs in terms of its development? And how do you think that they will impact the legal sector?
Yeah, so it's hard to say as we're still at a fairly nascent stage of adoption with the beginnings of a regulatory framework. That said, you know, it's very clear to me, and I'm sure you and your listeners, that there is an appetite and a market for NFTs, and there's an increasing adoption and will continue to be more adoption of NFT projects across, say, the sports, media, fashion, and retail spaces, among many others. Food as an example, the food industry is seeing an explosion of NFT projects. So this is likely to be accompanied by increasing financial regulatory oversight and a bedding down of principles and expectations in other areas of law and regulation. So very interesting times. I think we're going to see more demand, but as demand and risk increases, it's going to be accompanied by more oversight and regulation.
I see. Thank you so much for that. That is truly very insightful. So if you do not mind me asking, what got you started on doing law in terms of like cryptocurrency and financial services regulations?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I hope helpful for those listeners who are thinking about a career in law. So I always thought that law was the right profession for me. I studied history and politics at university and really enjoyed the thrust of academic debate. I enjoyed drafting. I enjoyed mooting. And I thought it would work for me as a career. So I applied for a training contract and I was very lucky to obtain a training contract at Linklaters. And I started in 2015. And the way it works at Linklaters, as it does many other corporate law firms, is that you have to do various seats as a trainee. So I did training seats in corporate, where I advised on acquisitions and initial public offerings. I then moved on to disputes, where I advised on a variety of litigation and arbitration cases. I then went into the financial regulation group. And in all honesty, I enjoyed all of my seats, but I just really enjoyed the cut and thrust of financial regulation. I enjoyed both advising firms on rules and regulations, but then also being able to advise on enforcement cases. So perhaps where things haven't gone as well as they should have, and the firm has found itself subject to an investigation by either of the UK financial services regulators. And then I suppose in 2017, we were seeing a lot of crypto work. You know, the market was becoming a bit more mainstream, and there was a lot of questions in the market as to how this would be regulated. And I found lots of that really interesting. And over the last 5 years, I've been able to advise a variety of firms, including established firms that are entering the crypto space, having been and are still involved in more traditional forms of investment, as well as lots of new firms. And I think it's a really fascinating area of the law to be involved. You know, as we've discussed today, I can put my financial services hat on, but I'll often have to think about lots of other areas of the law. And I just find it incredibly interesting.
Thank you so much for that. As a law student, I find that very insightful in terms of career perspectives and just thinking about what kind of practice areas you want to maybe take on in the future.
Yeah.
So that will wrap up some of the questions we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us today, Joseph. And I really appreciate you accepting our invitation for the call.
Of course.
I have most certainly learned a lot. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
And I hope that this podcast has taught our listeners more about NFTs and how it impacts the legal sector. So thank you once again for this.
Thanks, Zoe. And thank you all.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into this episode of On the Case, the LSC Law Society's podcast. Further information and our contact details can be found in the description of this episode. Don't forget to follow us at LSCSU Law Soc on Instagram or on LinkedIn at LSC's On the Case. See you next time!